Sierra, and I'm an addict. Sierra! All right, just for today, tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I'll have a program I will try to follow to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. And just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. I love it.
All right, so I would like to introduce our speaker, Jason S. He is from the Principals First group of NA in the Beaver area of NA.
Jason, I'm an addict. Anybody who's heard me speak recently over the last couple years knows that I start my leads basically the same way. Now, right now where I'm at with it, is by saying two things, like how much of an honor this is to do this. I try not to take this for granted, but you know, when you're living your day in and day out life, it doesn't directly connect to my head about how much of an honor it is to be part of Narcotics Anonymous, to be asked to give a lead.
Go ahead. Can't hear you. Sorry, man.
Sorry.
Speak up.
How's that? Better? I'm never going to stay in front of this mic, so it really doesn't matter what I do. But I start my leads the same way, by saying how much of a blessing it is to still be here and how honored I am to do this. This is also difficult because I really can't see anybody's face, so this is super fucking weird. But yes, man, I try not to forget how much of an honor this is to do that. I say that because I'm nervous as hell. I've been here over 17 years. I've given a lot of leads in a lot of places. I get super nervous because I feel a great sense of responsibility to not blur the message. I've been giving such a great gift just by being here, but what the steps have given me, finding a higher power, meeting other recovering addicts, it's truly an honor to be a part of this. But it's scary to do this. I'm still scared all the time. I feel responsibility to not say anything that could harm somebody. But I'm also blessed, man. I've came in with a lot of people who are not in the program anymore, who are currently using. I've seen a lot of people pass away from this disease. My stepmother has died of a drug overdose. My sister died of a drug overdose. I've had sponsees die of drug overdoses. Friends, people I've worked with there on Monday, passed away by Friday. This is a blessing. And I don't forget that. The chair, Erica, when she came up earlier to get my information, she was asking me the questions, and she was like, fuck, am I nervous? And I was like, you? I gotta get up there and give a lead. But in that moment, I knew I was home. I'm home. You know, we are a bunch of like-minded individuals suffering from the same thoughts and feelings and emotions and reaction and perception. We see things the same way. We look at the things, you know, every detail could be a little different, but we're suffering from the same disease here. Fear is consistently at the root of this problem. So when I hear somebody say they're scared to chair, and I'm scared to give a lead, I'm like, yeah, baby. Because that's how I feel here, man, because that's what it is. We're never alone. We never have to be alone again. We never have to be alone with this again. As long as we're honest and open-minded and willing to take some action, this is the place. I love it. It's changed my life completely. you know, things about me. I mean, my mother passed away, my birth mother, when I was 3 years old, of cancer. My mother, who died of a drug overdose, was my stepmother. But when I feel like that played a role in shaping my perception that I was talking about. I have abandonment issues. I feel alone a lot. I don't feel safe everywhere. I don't trust people. When you say you're going to be there, I think you're going to not be there. So that played a role in my thinking. My father was abusive. He told me a lot of times, you're stupid. You're a moron. You're not going to be nothing. What is wrong with you? Why did you do that? Through step work, I was able to look at those aren't the only things that he said to me, though. He did take me to Disney World and buy me things for my birthday and get me things for Christmas. He did his best, and I could look at it that way. But for a long time, I let the abuse dictate who I was as a man. Not truly a man, but as a person. So that was like what my childhood was like. I'm a product of losing my mother, of a lot of abuse at the age of 15. I ran away from home, lived on the street. Slept under bridges and alleys, you know, and that was before the hard drugs. Always making excuses, always, if you lived the life that I lived, you would be just like me. A lot of the reason why I did what I did is because I wanted to just get it in. I didn't like responsibility, I didn't like accountability, I didn't like having a curfew and homework and taking out the garbage. I wanted to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And I used the abuse that happened in my life to blame the whole thing on my dad. But the truth is, through step work, I was able to look at my part. And that's important, you know, because I can easily get caught up into the victim mentality that this is everybody else's fault but mine. That also played a big role in the decisions I made in life. But as I went on, life was what you would think that it was. It progressed from the simpler drugs to the harder drugs to a whole lot of criminal activity, you know, rehab in and out consistently, 43 months incarcerated, a lot of making promises to God that I could not keep, a lot of trying to use willpower to beat this disease and consistently failing. Never asking for help, always saying, I know. When you try to tell me, you know, why don't you hit somebody up and maybe go to rehab? I'd be like, I know. Oh, I know. I always knew, you know, I always had all the answers. I'm the smartest dude in the room who was making the most mistakes. That was my life, man. Like, I had a lot of pain through all the decisions I made. It came with creating more guilt and more shame and more regret on top of the original problems that I had. My issue was never really the drug specifically, like I said earlier. It's my perception of reality. That is my problem. You know, my thinking is my issue. Having all the answers is part of that perception. But always thinking I knew what to do and never being willing to take help from you. And it caused me massive amounts of pain. And I'm sure like many people in this room, like I said, man, like I'm never alone here. We all suffer from the same thing. But I was in and out of rehab. I tried willpower. Through that process, though, I started hearing very important things in rehab and in the jail programs I was in. Words like prayer, sponsorship, step work, meeting attendance, home group, service. Like they read the clarity statement at the beginning of these things, you know, and even that is super important to me because this can be very confusing for a new person. You know, it was very confusing for me and I was always looking for a way out. So understanding my direction was very important. Like anything I say up here is just a lot of my experience, but talking about sponsorship and step work and meeting attendance and prayer and service, this is the pathway to freedom. Like when I'm willing to get out of my own way and let somebody help me, put my ego aside and take the guidance. I mean, there's no other thing. This is the only disease that can be talked away. If I'm willing to be honest and accept help from other people. Like I said, it's a super blessing to be here at all. For this thing to exist is a miracle. Two dudes sat in a room and wrote some of the steps. How? It's divinely inspired, man. So like I try not to take it for granted, but it's a miracle. And if I'm willing to work it, it will work in my life. And it has worked in my life. I hurt a lot of people on the way. Like I said, I did a lot of crimes. I told a lot of lies. Broke my brothers and sisters' hearts. Broke my father's hearts. Broke my family's heart. And I was out there I mean, abscesses, you know, suicide attempts. You know, I injected something, I don't know what it was, and it atrophied my body. I was in it, in the shit, and constantly thinking I would find my own way out. But I picked up those little things along the way, and it was super important. One of my first times of coming here, got a sponsor, didn't call. So I didn't work steps. Got a home group, it was the GSR. Never went to area, ever. But I still don't knock that stuff though, you know what I mean? Like, I came here to meet girls, to get new shoes, to get a job. But I don't, like, you know, I just hear, like, there's some, like, you gotta come here for the right reasons to do everything. Like, I was coming from a fucking trap house. I wasn't coming to some place where I'm just Mr. Spiritual and a working steps now. I literally came from a crack house. So I didn't know anything about this. So for any reason, it gets any addict in the door, clean or not clean, it's a miracle. Welcome. Welcome in. Come on. For any reasons. Because people are literally dying all the time. I'm not just talking about heroin. I'm talking about drunk driving accidents, crack cocaine horn explosion, pill overdoses. You know what I mean? All these different things that people do. This shit is killing people like crazy. So welcome with open arms, man. I'm drunk, high, whatever. And I recently got on this soapbox more because I've seen people do it when there's a dude right over there and he's like, man, and everyone's like, look at this dude. Where is he supposed to be? Where's he supposed to be? Oh, he's supposed to be gone. We kick him out. You know, it's not a joke, man. So, because I'm a product of coming here for the wrong reasons. Through the process of staying open-minded, honest, willing, praying, trying, I began to stay for the right reasons. The blessings that I received in my life. The change of perception through step work. Being honest through the step work so I could take it like the fourth and fifth step and taking it. You know, I used to always call myself, like, I would refer to myself in the third person a lot when someone would give me a compliment early on. They'd be like, oh, you did a good job with that. And I'd be like, not bad for a dope fiend. And I'd say it all the time. My sponsor said to me, he was like, are you doing dope fiend stuff still? Like, what are you stealing? What are you robbing? What drugs are you using? So stop referring to yourself. That might seem simple, but that was very important because the things that we tell ourselves is an outpouring of who we are. So I had to stop saying that, and a lot of that came through my fourth and fifth step. I was able to let go of the bullshit I thought was me, take a look at truly who I am, and then the goals of the man that I wanted to be. I've accomplished all those things when I worked that fourth and fifth step all them years ago. I've had a pathway to it, so that's why it's important. This program, really, if you ain't working steps, that's what the recovery process is. That's how the change happens in us. Like, hanging out in the back of a meeting on my phone, like, cool, I can meet my sponsor here. No one here is really going to remember what I said after this. I'm not that important. You might remember one thing I said. So that, like, listening to a speaker, it's cool, we're vibing, we're fellowshipping, we love each other, that's dope. But the change process is in the step work. That's where I take an honest look and I write that stuff down and I share it with another man or woman and I invite God into that picture so I can see who I really am and who I really want to be and be honest about what I really do so I don't have to do that shit no more. Holding on to old character defects just kills us, man. I mean, they get removed in God's time nonetheless, but I have to make a list and be honest and put that stuff out there into the atmosphere and let God remove that. For me personally, I was doing this shit so many times that I got sick of doing it. It broke me, you know? I can't be here in recovery, be lying forever. That shit eats me up. So all I'm saying is that's the point of this for me, and it's changed my life. Step work is what this program is. If I truly want to recover and be in that process, that's the clear message of NA. I mean, we don't take nothing, no matter what. We pray, we show up, we read, and we write, and we help. And that's what does it, man. That has changed my life. I went from a lying, scheming, dope fiend dude to my life slowly but surely changing over time. If it would have made me God, I wouldn't be standing at this podium today. So of course I still fall short. As I peel back the layers of the onions, I find new character defects I didn't even know I had. deeper ones, ones that I think protect me from my fears, but are really killing me. You know, I find that out as time goes on through the consistent work in this program. And even that, man, like when I say that, I'm not like some crazy, like, dude, like how I work steps, it took me 10 years. 10 minutes a night. I pray, read the step, answer the questions at the step work. I mean, there's been more than 10 minutes, but answer the step work and guide questions, fold it up, turn the TV on. I just never chose the TV before the step. I would never hit the, I gotta text her. I text her after the step. Steeler game's coming on. Well, you better get the fuck on the step. And it's, you know, we just make it, but my point of that is it just makes it, we make this mountain out of something that is not that difficult to really do. You know, I mean, it can be hard and it can be painful and it can be eye-opening and writing down these things that we're so afraid of and we don't want to tell nobody. Yes, I understand that that is difficult and scary. I'm not minimizing that process, but I just need to open the book and to write the words. I don't have to make it this, oh my God, I can't, it's gonna be 2 hours. It don't have to be, man. I just gotta do consistently trying, consistently showing up. It's the same premise as one day at a time. That's how I approach everything I do at Narcotics Anonymous. I work all day. I don't want to come home and get dressed and drive to my home group. I don't think about that. I just got to get a shower. Then I just got to put my clothes on. Then I just got to, you know what I'm saying? I just do one little thing, and that's literally how I got 17 years. I take that one day at a time, literally. I just take it moment by moment because I get so wrapped up in my head and self-defeated. You know, I still hear that voice that I'm going to fail all the time from my father, that I'm not good enough and I'm not going to make it and I'm not going to be able to do it. And that's what this program has given me, ability to circumvent that defect, that self-defeating attitude. Like, what I'm talking about is, like I said, it's really a miracle, man. We're talking about just praying and reading and writing can completely change my core belief system. And it has. I did what they said, man. I got a home group. I got a sponsor. I began to begrudgingly work steps. Like I said, I didn't believe it in my head. My head was constantly telling me to relapse, go use, go back to what I knew. I was way more comfortable in shit than I was in success. I knew the streets. I knew homelessness. I still know homelessness. I know how to do all that. This was scary and completely unfamiliar to me. So of course my brain was still stuck in a trap house, but I just did the action. The thoughts are never going to be able to be stopped from popping in my head. I do not control what pops in my head. I only control the actions that I take after the thoughts pop in my head. So my action was consistent. You know, I just never chose something over the meeting, and that's what I did. I got a home group, I got involved. The first thing I did in my home group of service was take out the garbage. And I emptied ashtrays because you could smoke in a meeting in 2006, at least in my home group. So I took out the trash and I emptied ashtrays. Man, I was not too cool to do that. There was a time in my life where I was too cool to do that. I mean, I was the dude who sat in the back with the bummy sneakers, who judged you on your bummy sneakers. That's where my head was at. So there was definitely a time I couldn't let her, I don't even know who her was, but whoever the her was at that time, couldn't let me see me, you know, being Mr. N.A. Because I honestly, that hurt me for a long time too, man. I really didn't understand what N.A. was about. Like, I honestly believed that it was for old people who had no hustle. I thought, when you can't escape the cops anymore, you come here. That's how I looked at it. I did not know what this was hitting for. So I had a really fatally, you know, slick, hip, and cool attitude about everything. But I began to do what they said, man. What you told me to do, what I seen other people doing, who were hugging each other, smiling, driving cars, and seeming to found a new way of life. I just did it, whatever my brain said or not. It was not the easiest thing in the world for me, from like a street kid. And I did make a lot of mistakes, man. There was stuff I worked in my throat in my step that I would never do that I did again. And it came with a lot of guilt and shame. This place taught me a lot, though. And, like, I learned how to be a brother to my brothers and sisters for the first time. I learned how to, I mean, I have a fiance. I was a homeless street kid with nothing. I have a five-year-old, they're sitting right there. I have a five-year-old son. this taught me how to do that. Taught me how to keep relationships, to understand the sacrifices, to stop being so selfish and self-centered with every decision that I make. I mean, you want to get real selfless, have a fucking kid. He don't care. He wants what he wants when he wants it now. And it's always now. But this program gave me the ability to do that stuff, man. I was a homeless bum. I mean, standing here, I'm standing in with 17 years clean with a fiance and a five-year-old giving a lead on a Friday night. I was sleeping, I was walking around outside in February in Pittsburgh with this no jacket, freezing to death, dreaming. Like, my goals were not this high even. I would fantasize about just seeing a light on in somebody's house and hoping they would let me sleep on their basement floor. I mean, I was really homeless and really nowhere to go. So, like, to stand up here and be able to be asked, like, what an honor to do this. And unbelievable. Because that's it too, man. Like, I do not forget where I came from. Staying grateful and being willing to show some gratitude is also a major part of my program. I don't know how that I stay grateful. And I could, like, you know, losing a lot, not having a lot probably plays a role, but somehow, like, trying to stay in gratefulness and show some gratitude is also a major part of this. Like, I never forget where I came from. I have 17 years clean, but trust me, and I'm behind the podium, but I don't never put myself on no pedestal. Like, I don't know how much time anybody else got. I don't even know how much time my significant other has, half the time. It's like, roughly. Because, I don't do clean time checks on people. I don't know that the dude with 22 minutes, he can't help me. I don't look at it that way. 20 years, 10 years, 1 year, 2 months, I don't put myself above nobody. Though I do want to say, I heard it says, everybody knows this, supposedly. It says, the newcomer is the most important person at any meeting. And everybody stops. But it doesn't stop. It says, because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. So what that means is we are equally as important to each other. The newcomer and the predecessor are a circle. The newcomer's important because they need me, and I'm important because I need them, and it's a circle. So the newcomer's the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. With that in mind, that's why I never put myself above nobody else. I don't know who can help me at one given time, and many, many people have. And that's part of me staying grateful, man. Like I said, you lose people here. It's hurt me. It has made me a little scared and callous towards those situations. It's harder for me now to get closer to people. Because, I could be with you here, and you're sharing, we're getting vulnerable with each other, we're trying to help each other, we're just talking to each other, and you could be dead next week. And that has happened to me many, 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 many times. And it doesn't have to be that way. This program is highly workable. Anybody can do this. I'm not a unique person. The service commitments that get suggested to us, you can't be too afraid to try something new. I was the area treasurer for a couple years. Well, I heard that they were up, positions were up. And so I looked at what was up, and it was like five things I thought I would be good at. So I told my sponsor, these five things, I can do any of these things. He's like, oh, which one couldn't you do? I'm like, treasurer. He's like, then go for that one. And I honestly didn't know how to write a check, man. I didn't know how to balance any books. Like the woman I was with at the time, when I would come home with my check, I'd just give her the check and be like, I don't know, do whatever, pay the bills, whatever it is. I don't know how to do it. And I never learned. So little things like that I can't anticipate, it taught me how to balance my checkbook, write actual checks. Those are side things. Then there's the relationships that I built with people I would have never met if I never would have got that area service position. Taught me patience, taught me responsibility, taught me tolerance for other people, how to communicate, how to work together as a group. There's tons of stuff that comes from service. Now area, I probably ain't going to go back. But I love my home group, and I got a service position there, and I've done all those service positions. And that's what I'm really saying is, like, not everything is for everybody every time, but it was important for me to try that out, see, I got tons of benefit of it. And ultimately my point is, man, is like, my head will tell me do not do it. I'm sure many people in this room, your head will tell you, Dad, don't do it, you ain't got time. You can't go out there. You don't know nobody. It's scary. Like, it's always fucking scary, man. It don't ever stop being scary. There's always gonna be fear. So here's like what I've learned to do. I come here, I don't know where Scott is, but I'm like, cool, what's up, bro? Bang, bang, nice. Hey, where's the bathroom? Because anywhere I give a lead, what I do is I go straight to the bathroom and I get on my knees in a stall, anywhere. I don't care what it smells like. And I pray to God. And that's what I did in there. And there was like wet shit all over the floor too. I'm hoping it was mop water. But I pray. I say, God, please be with me. God, please help me give a clear message of NA. God, please help take this anxiety away and take this fear away, God. Please be with me. I know you'll be with me, God. Please be with me. And then I go. And I say thank you. And I speak. I don't plan this. I don't rehearse in any fucking mirrors. I never know what I'm gonna say. I just pray and talk. Why I'm saying that is because fear and faith. Anytime, so what I'm teaching myself by doing it is that I'm gonna be okay. I can feel all the fear that I wanna feel. Feel the fear. Pray, ask for help, and walk. Take the action. There's never been a lead I've given that I've died afterwards. Surprise, I'm still here. Because that's how I felt. Deathly afraid. I don't even know what's gonna happen. I'm just like, oh, is there a sniper on the roof? Like, I don't know it. I don't know what the fear, because the fear is based in nothing. All the time it is. It's us projecting. It's us thinking we know. It's having a perception of reality, which is what our problem is. I always say that. Here's the one. If I say this, then they'll say that. Then I'll say this, then they'll say that. I play every role in the fucking movie. I'm the lead guy. I'm the best man. I'm the woman. I'm the preacher. I'm the director. And I always think, I know. And I'm wrong. I'm always wrong. And I use this analogy. Your girl or your man comes home every night at 10 o'clock, right? They're always there at 10. That's what time they come home from work, 10 o'clock. What happens at 10:17 when they're not there and you haven't heard from them yet? They're cheating on me. They're always cheating on us. And that's what we think. If they're late, I know they're doing this. And when she comes in, I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna say that. And all it was traffic. But that's what happens, man. I project, I know. If I say, they'll do, and it's a fantasy land that I live in that I think is reality, then I take actions as if my fantasy is real. And that's what the disease is. It's exactly what it is. I think my way into issues. All I had to do was say, bro, you think she's cheating on me? And all they say is, no. She's in traffic. But when I'm left to my own devices, that's what happens to me. And that's what I'm battling. And that's what the step work helps me with. That's what the prayer helps me with, the service commitments and showing up and talking to other addicts. But I have to be honest. I have to be willing to tell the truth. It's going to be scary, but I got to have faith and I got to consistently pray. And what I found is when I don't, it makes things way harder. When I am not consistently praying to start, it makes it harder to open the book. It makes it harder for me to tell the truth. It's harder for me to see the truth. It's harder for me to accept what you're gonna tell me is the truth. So it starts for me with prayer. And even that, man, every night on my knees, the literature doesn't say we have to pray on our knees, but I do, I get on my knees, that's what was suggested to me. That's 30 seconds. I pray for the knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. I don't pray to hit the lottery anymore. I don't pray to meet the girl, because I already met her, so. But that's what I pray for, the knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. I thank God for the blessings in my life. I've been teaching my son to pray with me. He gets on his knees and he thanks God for Legos and shit. Chicken nuggets. And this is true, he really does do that. But yeah, so I believe in that, man. Somewhere, prayer takes me from just desire to willingness. Because I've always wanted to change. I've always wanted to do something different. I didn't want to be in this pain anymore. I was super suicidal all the time and depressed. But I just couldn't get it. I couldn't do it. But somewhere with consistent prayer, it gave me the willingness to get off my ass and take these actions that I talk about. And that's all, I don't have, like, I've worked all the steps and I've had all these experiences, but I don't have my higher power completely figured out. I'm not a religious person. I don't subscribe to organized religion in any way. We can hear, but I don't. But I'm a huge proprietor of prayer and a believer in my higher power, because that's the process that changed my life. Consistent prayer on my knees. Every night, 30 seconds, that's all I really take to do. It's something I meditate in the morning and I read some literature, but I didn't always do that. But the prayer was the catalyst for changing my life for me. And that's what allowed me to work the steps and be of service and do the things that are suggested. I try to stay available for help, to help anybody. And I've been like very available at times. Like you could call me at 2 and anytime and I would come get you and I would do anything. As I've gotten older and the way my life is today, I have a business, we have a house, we have a child, I have a fiance, it's been more difficult. But if you call me, I'm probably gonna come. 17 years later, I'm probably still gonna come. It's just a little harder. My back hurts a lot more than it used to. But my willingness to, like even people I might not like, I have to remain in position to help you like you help me. Somebody did it for me, so I try to stay here. That's why I'm here right now. This was an hour and 50 some minute drive to get here, and I'm only speaking for like an hour, and then I'm gonna drive an hour and 50 minutes back after working all day. But it's a fucking honor. It's an honor. And anytime I can say yes, I say yes, no matter how scared I am and how bad my brain says no. And I'm talking about me, but I'm talking about us. I'm not telling nobody what to do, but I'm just saying what has helped me change my life. And these places are like super special to me. You know, I love retreats. I love being in the woods, period. I love being like anything, woods, water, sunshine. I love it. I mean, it became a pretty big, the tri-state retreat became a pretty big deal for me and my fiance and our friends. I mean, we would cook and camp and play games. I love it. I love it. And now that my son is getting a little bit older, we can do it. Potentially now. And we had this two-year hiatus where we really weren't allowed to do things, which I've seen affect a lot of people's life in a negative way. I mean, I had a whole friends group of like 8 people. There was like 10 to 12 of us that went to that retreat, and 8 of those people ain't even in NA anymore. And these are people with over a decade clean. They just quit coming. Well, they couldn't come for a minute, and that caused them to say, oh, well, fuck it, looks like I'm off the hook. I mean, it's not funny, but they quit. So also why I'm blessed and so happy to still be here, because I could have easily been me, man. I'm not gonna lie, trust me, when they said my home group was canceled that night, I was like, oh, taking a night off, baby. I didn't know it turned into 9 months. I was like, Christ, I gotta get back and open the fucking door. I'm glad I came back. But yeah, so I love this, right? It's different, you know, the hugging up here, it feels different to me. You know, there's like true, like the peace that comes with coming up here, I guess, you know, like you're not worried about your job that much and washing the dishes and going to home and what's on TV. You're able to come up to these retreats, man, and just be free. Free of the hustle and bustle of the bullshit, man. And the hugs feel like better in my heart. I love them. The fires, the stories we tell, the things that we talk about. Helping each other put these things on and tear these things down. I mean, it's a lot of work to hang all these signs and put all these chairs up and do all this stuff. And it's not like Erica's like some professional chair person. She's just another recovering addict trying to do her best. And that's what we all are doing here, man. So I love these things, man. And I like hope, like I said, now that my son's bigger, we can get back to this, because there's nothing like it, man. The peace, like I said, fires and cooking and conversations, the readings, seeing people. I mean, Julie, you know, the celebrity, remember her? She got up here and everyone cheered for her. Me and Julie, I used to see her every week. I ain't seen Julie in 5-6 years. So like, those are the amazing things that happen. You come, I ain't seen Scott in a couple of years. Like, you come up here and you see old friends and rekindle old relationships and friendships. And like I said, you never know how somebody will help you. I love it, man. It's like, I feel like we're all super blessed to be up here and in the love of the fellowship. I feel like our higher power is always involved in rooms like this, around them fire pits and them tents and them cabins. My higher power is always present in those places, and it's rooted in love, not in fear. And the faith that I've got through my experience leads me to have a core belief of that. I don't do this perfectly, man. Like, these readings, they have all the answers. This is just my opinion and my experience. I love this program and I'm blessed to be a part of it, but these readings, if we could pay attention to them in a meeting, tell us exactly how to never have to go back to that pain again. That death, that sorrow, that guilt, and that shame. We never have to live that way again. We can be free from that prison that we've been in for so long. And it's simply right in the literature. The change happens through the step work. Over time, slowly but surely, there will be no instant gratification. But there's like the main thing that we have to do. And I used to close with this all the time, and it just popped in my head. I haven't said this in years, so I'm going to say it. Like, there was a story. There was a guy when I had like 2-3 years clean. He was given a lead, and he had 15 years clean at the time. So this was, you know, whatever, 15 years ago. And him and his sponsee family, he was the young, like the dude with the least amount of clean time in his sponsorship family, and they went on a pilgrimage to go meet the guy who wrote the steps on paper, which, as they know, was Jimmy K. He's the one credited in the 50s. He didn't do it alone, but a lot of it's Jimmy K. You know, he's the dude who really pushed the envelope for NA. So they're going to meet him. So they go down, and dude's a nervous wreck. They're drinking coffee and tea with Jimmy K. He's trying to get him alone. You know, he wants to talk to him. You know, it's like, it's Jimmy K. So he finally sees his chance, and he's like, hey, Jimmy, can I help you take the coffee cups in the kitchen or whatever? And he's like, yeah, come on. So he gets him alone. He's like, Jimmy, you know, if you had to give me the secret, you know, Jimmy K's the guru, so. Like, you give me the secret. If there's one thing, you know, I only got a year clean. If you could tell me, what is the secret to NA? What is the secret to your success here? Jimmy K was like, don't take the first one. That's it. All of this change comes in through the step work. But just remember, don't take the first one no matter what. I'm Jason, I'm an addict.